Good morning. Thank you again for joining us on Facebook and or on our webpage. We appreciate that you have joined us and are watching via our recording. Just some information you need to know as we move forward. We've been doing this for quite a few weeks now, but we're making a change as we move forward because we're back to our heading back into our in-person services. And so next week, that would be June the 21st, we are going to go Facebook Live. What that means is actually during our first service at 9:30, we will go live on Facebook and for the preaching of the Word of God. And so we're inviting you to join us at 9:30. Now, for those who may say, well, I'm as earlier, I thought it was 10. Well, you can join us a little bit later because after the live, it will post shortly after that. So it will be there for you. As well as for those who are watching online, there will be a little more delay because we've got to get it posted online. And we're hoping to have it on Sundays posted by noon for those who are watching via our webpage or Vimeo or something of that nature. So just want to say thank you for joining us. Looking forward to still being with you week after week. Just a time change, 9:30, but you can always find us on Facebook and or online and watch the messages. I want to say thank you for your faithfulness and giving. As we keep pressing ahead, God's going to help us, and looking forward to being with you. Hope you can join us all, in service or in person in the future. But for now, we understand that many need to be at home. Well, today we are in our second week of our series, Friendship, Part 2. Last week, Part 1, we talked about the foundation of friendship, learning to get to know people face-to-face and being transparent with your life. Those are foundation to having friendships. But today I want to talk about the need of having different types of friends in your life. Listen, you could be just one friend away from changing your life. It could be for the better or it could be for the worse. So today I want to take time though to talk about those people in your life, those friends that will make you better. I said this last week, and I will repeat it again this week. You show me your friends, and I will show you your future. You have to understand that friends will always determine the quality and the direction of your life. Solomon, the wisest person to ever live, said this, Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Sadly, unfortunately, many people are relationally in poverty. They have people all around them, yet they are in need of real friends. Now, that's not true, at least of what I've seen of most third world countries that I have visited, because friendships are the basis of their community. Of course, here in the United States, we are all wrapped up in the material things, the stuff that we own. But in third world countries, it's all about who you surround yourself with. Let me tell you, those that I have met in third world countries are relationally rich. And all of us need to be relationally rich. We need to have friendships in our lives. Now, you might be thinking that you're missing out on something in your life. Well, maybe it is not something that is missing, but it is someone that is missing. Maybe you're missing that one friend or two or three friends who can help change the course of your life and your destiny. This morning, I want you to see in Scripture that having the right people in your life will help define what God desires to do in your life. You can see it again and again in the lives of people in Scripture. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, I want you to see how the Apostle Paul's whole trajectory of life was changed by one friendship. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 28. Verse 26, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. You see, before Paul was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul and was known to be the chief persecutor of Christians. And so the believers in Jerusalem are like, I don't trust you. Last week you wanted to kill us, and now you're wanting to tell me about Jesus? But listen to what happened in verse 27. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles. Barnabas is going to put his own credibility on the line for Saul because he is a friend to Saul. And this is what he did. He says, and told them how Saul has seen the Lord on the way to Damascus and how the Lord has spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. Verse 28, so Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. God used one person, Barnabas, to change the destiny of Paul's life. And now that guy that no one trusted at first is the guy who wrote over half of the New Testament that we have and has impacted literally millions and millions of people throughout the course of history. It all started because one friend stepped into his life. Think about it. You could be just one friend away from changing the course of your life. Well, I was serving as a music minister at Kalamazoo First Assembly way back in 1990. I met a new friend from Canada. I had no idea what that friendship meant until I got a call from a pastor from Canada, Pastor Shepherd, and who I ended up serving with for 5 years of my life in Canada. In fact, I have three Canadian-born children in my household. And I got to also meet my lifelong friend, Al Woolen, all because a friend saw value in me. One friend can make a great impact in your life. Today, I want to show you three different types of friends that really every person needs in their life. We're going to look at the life of King David from the Old Testament, and we will see three individuals who were part of David's life. They are Samuel, Jonathan, and Nathan. Three different people God put into the life of David so David could become the man that God wanted him to be. Let's look at the first one, Samuel. Each one of us, so let me say it this way, each one of us need a friend who sees God potential in you. Every single one of us need a friend in our life, whether it's long-term or even short-term, that will see what God is doing in your life. Let's look at the context of this relationship. Now, understand that Israel had a king. His name was King Saul. Now, this is a different Saul than the Saul who became Paul in the New Testament. But King Saul became the first king of Israel. And he started off as an okay king, but he did not continue to follow God. And eventually God rejected King Saul as king and took his anointing off of Saul. And then God called a prophet named Samuel to go and anoint the person who would be the next king. So Samuel is that person. And he went to the house of Jesse and he called for the boys of Jesse to come because one of them was about to be anointed to be king. So Jesse calls for the first and the oldest of his sons, and the boy walks in, and Samuel thought, surely this is the one the Lord has chosen. But God told Samuel, he's not the one. So then Jesse brought in son number two, and then son number three, and then son number four, and five, and six, and seven of number seven son came in. But none of them was who the Lord was looking for. Now, Samuel was listening to the Lord, and though all the other sons might have been fine young men, they were not the one that God wanted to put his anointing on for king. So Samuel asked Jesse, do you have another son? And Jesse says, yes, but he's out in the field watching the sheep. He's the youngest. But Samuel's told Jesse, bring him here. You see, God was looking at the heart, not the outward appearance. And God was using Samuel, someone who was close to his heart, to help select this next person who was to be king. And then David, this little shepherd boy, walks in. And then in 1 Samuel 16:12, we read this. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. You see, God saw the heart. Even though David was the runt of the family, and nobody else could see what God could see, God saw the potential in David. And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David to be king in the presence of his brothers and his dad. You see, God sent Samuel to clearly define in David what God wanted out of David's life. Samuel was a friend who could see God's potential in David. And all of us need a friend who sees God's potential in us. Now, David didn't become king right away. God still has some growing he wanted to happen in David's life. But God used Samuel to speak into that little boy's life and show him a future that God had for him. I hope maybe just that all of us could learn to be used by God to speak life into others and see maybe what nobody else can see. And whether you're a child or an adult, God wants to anoint you for his purpose. I don't know if that's for kingship or leadership or just serving him all out. But may we all stand ready to serve the Lord with an anointing upon our lives and to do so with gladness. I hope that each of you have had maybe somebody who's spoken to your life the things of God and sees the God potential in you. I'm so glad I had a mom and a dad, as well as teachers in high school and professors in college, and then other pastors along the way, and people even in the congregation, all along the way of my life, who have spoken into my life because they saw God potential in me that I could not see. And I'm glad that they befriended me for whatever length of time it was and helped me become who I am today. They helped to make me a better person. Church, you need a friend who sees God potential in you. We all need people in our lives who help us see what God is doing, that God potential, what he put in us to do. Amen? Listen to Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says this, as iron sharpens iron. Would you say this part with me? So a friend sharpens a friend. That could be a friend, of course, helping us to see the God potential in our life, or it could be a friend that helps us find spiritual strength in our life. You see, David had another person, another friend in his life who helped him find spiritual strength. His name was Jonathan. Now, Jonathan, you need to understand, was the son of King Saul. Church, every single one of us need a friend who helps you find spiritual strength. And Jonathan was that person for David. Let me fast forward a little bit in David's life. So David, of course, ends up killing Goliath. And before long, David becomes a war hero, and all the women start to notice David. And a song began to stir, actually, about David. 1 Samuel 18, verse 6 to 9, it says, "When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul." But listen to this. "They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song: Saul has killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Well, King Saul heard this and got angry. In fact, he got jealous because of the song. Listen to verse 8 and 9. This is what it says. "This made Saul very angry. 'What's this?' he said. 'They credit David with 10,000s and me only with thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king.' So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Saul began thinking that David was after his throne because David was getting all the attention. And in fact, in 1 Samuel 19, we find out that King Saul wanted to kill David. 1 Samuel 19, verse 1, Saul, listen to who he's talking to, told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. But Jonathan had taken a great liking to David. Verse 2, and warned him, 'My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there.'" We find out Jonathan ended up having a talk with his dad, with King Saul. And King Saul, of course, backed off at this time and did not try and kill David. But then later on, Saul could not get rid of that jealousy in his life. And in chapter 23, we read again about Saul trying to kill David. But once again, we also see Jonathan coming on the scene and playing his role as a friend to David. Let me pick up the story in 1 Samuel 23, verse 15. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life, verse 16. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Church, you need friends who will help you find spiritual strength in God. Listen to what Jonathan said in verse 17. "Don't be afraid," he said. "My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel, and I'll be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. Then Jonathan went home, but David remained at Horesh. No matter how mature we become in the Lord, I believe we all will need to be strengthened in the Lord at some point of our life. We really need people who will pray with us, people who will covenant with us, and be a friend who's not influenced by the decisions of others. Listen, Jonathan, who could have been the next king, knew his role as a friend to David. And he did everything he knew to do to give David the spiritual strength and encouragement he needed, and to see that God's will, actually God's will, was fulfilled in David's life. You see, church, each of us need a friend who sees God's potential in you and a friend who helps you find spiritual strength. And a third thought I want to address this morning is we all need a friend who tells you the truth. That is why David needed a Nathan in his life. We all need somebody at times who's willing to tell you the truth. Here's what happened with David and Nathan. I know that we all know that David was known as a man after God's own heart. But there was a season of David's life where he took his eyes off of God and actually put them on a woman named Bathsheba. And David's sin was so great that he couldn't even see it himself. First, he committed adultery. Second, he tried to cover it up. And then he ends up committing murder. And that is when God sent Nathan to David to tell him the truth. I know that this story was a part of a message just a few weeks ago, but it is worth hearing again. Nathan had to address David about what he had done. And Nathan used a parable to get the message across. Now understand, David is king, and he could have had Nathan's head for what Nathan is about to tell him. I mean, he's already committed murder once. But God sent Nathan to David, and Nathan was obedient to the Lord. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, "There were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him." Verse 5, David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And then this godly friend spoke up in verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." And suddenly David saw what he had not seen before. And he was broken before God. Again, you could go read it for yourself sometime, the repentance of David found in Psalm 51. It's a powerful psalm. But let me ask you a question. When was the last time you had a friend who loved you so much that whether it hurt or not, they were willing to tell you the complete truth? Maybe to let you know that you were hurting someone, or that maybe you made a mistake, or maybe your testimony for Jesus was being tainted by the things you were doing or the things you were saying. But let me ask another question. Maybe you would even have to ask this before the first question. Would you humble yourself and receive such truth if it were told you? As a friend, this is one of the toughest things that you'll ever have to do, is to tell somebody the complete truth. But it's also, as a friend, one of the toughest things to receive from another friend. But church, we need to be people. We need these people. We need these friends who will speak into our lives and tell us the truth. You need a friend who sees God potential in you. You need a friend who helps you find spiritual strength. And you need a friend who tells you the truth. Think about it. You could be just one friend away from tapping in into the power of what God wants to do in your life, or how God wants to use your God-given talents, or how God wants to set you free from guilt. Some of you today are just one friend maybe away from salvation and having a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Actually, there's two sides to this message today. One side is being the friend who helps others see their God potential, or being the friend who strengthens others spiritually, or being the friend who tells the truth to somebody. But just know this, if you're that friend, all of that has to be done as it's God-led and God-directed, because we saw that in Scripture. The other side is this. It's having a friend that sees the God potential in you. or a friend who wants to help strengthen you spiritually, or a friend who needs to tell you the truth. Could I say this to you? In all of this, stay humble and let God direct and guide your life as you work through these friendships. You see, iron sharpens iron. And God uses us to sharpen each other. If we can learn to walk with the wise, the Bible says, you will be wise. And I want you to have those kind of friends in your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word would always have the right to penetrate deep into our hearts, that we would have listening hearts. And as you use others to speak into our lives, may we always stay humble and be willing to grow. And Lord, if you happen to use us to speak into others' lives, let us do so with humility and graciousness. God, would you give us the right friends as we serve you and as we live for your glory? I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Today, for those who have not made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to know that he was called a friend of sinners. And when you call in the name of Jesus, God will not only forgive you of everything you've done, but he'll make you brand new, and he will become your Savior and your King and a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you want to invite Jesus to be Lord of your life today, would you simply just pray this with me? Say, Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe Jesus rose again. Be Lord of my life and fill me with your Spirit so I can know you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, ask God to give you a friend who sees God's potential in you, a friend who helps you find spiritual strength, and a friend who tells you the truth. Could I ask you today, follow hard after the Lord and then live a Jesus-filled life. God bless you.